And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. You can stay tuned and stay connected with the show 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. Boy, did we have a great time last night on the Patreon hangout that takes place once a month for those individuals that are subscribed to our Patreon. We're on for almost 2 hours last night talking about some of the news of the day, and it was great catching up with everybody last night. If you are not already signed up for the Patreon, you can get access to the daily show notes, those monthly hangouts, and some bonus content. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. And again, I cannot thank everybody enough for their support as we embark on this new era of media here on the Nick Craig Show. It is greatly appreciated. Well, let's do it. It is Friday morning, and we are discussing diversity, equity, and inclusion as the one of the big stories locally this week is the new Hanover County Board of Education and them getting rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives being removed from the county's strategic plan, and likely most of its policies per a school board decision earlier this week. Now, of course, this is being led by a charge at the federal government. You've heard a lot from the president and his advisors and people around him over the last couple of weeks about, well, not the last couple of weeks since he's been in the Oval Office, but going back further in time throughout the campaign about the future of DEI, which is an incredibly dangerous and destructive agenda that has been perpetrated on the American people. It's in our public schools, it's in our private businesses, it's in our government, it is everywhere. And, you know, again, the name DEI, the Democrats, when they talk about it, and I've got some clips coming up, diversity, equity, and inclusion, this is what we want. Yet the policies that are pushed forward by the left do not cause and create any more diversity. There's no more inclusion. This stuff sounds good on paper. The acronym sounds great. But the practicality of these policies is not that. They're incredibly, inherently racist and sexist. They are choosing one individual over another based on their gender, based on their skin color. You're taking a huge step back in all of the work that has gone on over the last 60 years in this country in regards to racial discrimination and gender discrimination, taking major steps back in that, just so liberals can pat themselves on the back and say to each other, "Oh, look at me, I'm a good liberal. No, look at me, I'm doing good liberal things over here. Diversity, equity, inclusion, go team." It's insane. The policies are so destructive, so divisive. Yet, the progressive left thought it was a good idea to gin up DEI, to bring it into the private and public sector, and there's been a massive retaliation to that. As the American public, as the American people, do not find themselves in favor with these ridiculous policies. They are not okay with discriminating against people based on their gender, based on their sex, based on their ethnic background. I don't know why the left thought people would be in favor of that, but they're not. And so Trump has set the agenda pretty clearly up at Washington, D.C., that these policies need to go. You're seeing the stripping out of DEI policies at the federal level within federal agencies. And the question at hand this morning, the discussion that's taking place locally and what took place at the New Hanover County Board of Education meeting earlier this week, was dealing with the potential loss of federal funding. I played a clip a couple of weeks ago of a Wake County school board meeting where some deranged lunatic leftists there claimed that they're not removing their DEI policies. We're keeping them. We're going to dig our feet in on this issue and stick with it. That's a very dangerous idea. Because there is a strong likelihood that through executive order or action of Congress, one or the other or both, that entities and agencies like school boards, like school systems, will have a large portion of their money stripped back if they refuse to follow those federal mandates. And if the federal mandate, again, either from the president or from the Department of Education or from Congress, we've already seen the executive order, is to roll back and cut out diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you as a proud liberal on your school board want to stand in the way of that, there are going to be serious consequences. You're going to lose your funding. You're going to lose out and miss out on potentially hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government. You saw the exchange between President Trump and the governor of Maine over the transgender sport issue, where the Maine governor is seemingly hell-bent on allowing biological men to play in young female sports. Trump called her out last week and said, I'm going to pull your federal funding. Come in compliance with federal law, come in compliance with executive orders out of the White House, or you're going to lose your federal funding. It's as simple as that. The president sets the agenda, Congress sets the agenda, and that's what needs to be followed. And so the left can clamor all they want about it, but the reality is very clear. There is a massive change going on within our country right now. Things are happening at a rapid, rapid rate. And you can decide what you want to do. You can be the good liberal, and you can stand up for your big progressive liberal issues and put your school district, put your county commission, put your town council, put it completely at jeopardy with the loss of federal funds. And don't think it's a bluff, because we're not bluffing on this stuff. These policies are very, very destructive. It is long time for them to be stripped out and gutted. And it's happening. And so you have two options. You can either fall in line with it, follow the directives coming out of Washington, D.C., follow the agendas, or you can stand in compliance and an example will be made of you. Pretty clear and simple. Examples will be made. Whether you like it or not, whether you cry and scream and yell on Facebook about it or not, an example is going to be made. And so these individuals in elected office all over the country have very important decisions to make over the next couple of months as we watch this play out. So taking us to the school board meeting on Tuesday, well, the agenda review for the upcoming school board meeting. This took place on Tuesday over at the New Hanover County Board of Education. One of the main topics under new business was, how do we go forward with diversity, equity, and inclusion, with the policies, with the programs that we have in place right now, with these massive changes up in Washington, D.C.? So Melissa Mason, who is the chair of the school board, brought up this discussion item during new business, which was on the agenda, and turned it over to the superintendent, the now permanent superintendent of the New Hanover County Public School System, in Dr. Barnes, and asked him to kind of go over some of the details and go over what is being learned and how a school district like New Hanover County is going to deal with this. So this was the discussion that took place at the meeting on Tuesday. I'll just play a little bit of it. I've got some clips. Take a listen to this.
Is to protect the educational environment and the safety of children, and to make sure that we don't have politics entering into the day-to-day work of students in classrooms. However, I'm going to pass out to initially start the letter we received from the Department of Civil Rights Valentine's Day. And I think you guys have seen a copy of this already, but I'm providing it for you today.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of that, we've also received guidance from the Association of School Administrators, from the North Carolina School Board Association, from Superintendent of the North Carolina, Mo Green, all of which give somewhat similar guidance in how schools should respond to this executive order or the order from the Office of Civil Rights. There are also concerns regarding funding issues and things that are literally changing daily. My request was to bring this to the board because I think this bears a response from the board, because it's going to impact how I direct our work over the next several months. Part of the concern is, I've talked with several superintendents across the state, so I'm gonna have to broaden this conversation just a little bit. I'm sorry for the time. We receive approximately, and I'm gonna say 20%, is that correct, Ashley, from the federal government-ish?
It's a little less this year, but if you include child nutrition, that's probably closer.
Okay, so without, be that as it may, what we receive is obviously funding streams from three different sources. We get local support from our county commissioners, we get state funding, and we get federal funding. This office, or the letter we received from the Office of Civil Rights, clearly states that our federal funding is tied to compliance with this missive.
Okay, I'm going to stop the superintendent right there. From the federal government, the Office of Civil Rights, the letter very clearly states you need to follow the directives coming out of this office, coming out of this administration, or you risk losing your federal funding. There's no ambiguity. There's no rug being pulled over, blanket being pulled over somebody's head. The directive is very clear. Come in compliance or put at risk your federal funding, which we just learned from the superintendent is about 20% of the school board's budget. A very large sum of money. You know, we always hear from progressive leftists about how we don't fund teachers enough, how there's not enough money for public education. Yet these same jokers are going to now try and battle back against the federal government in these DEI directives. So what is it? You guys want more money, or are you willing to put at risk 20% of your funding? And ladies and gentlemen, we know what the result is of losing 20% of your funding. Major cuts to educators within the school system. So bar me the outrage from the left over teacher funding and the stupid billboards that they run all over North Carolina. This is your opportunity to make sure that you're in compliance so you don't lose this funding. Yet there's, of course, got to be a way to twist yourself in a pretzel so that you can somehow justify how we're not going to follow these policies. More from the superintendent.
Now, our federal funding comes in a lot of different ways. Most of it is tied up in two different areas. One is IDEA, and the other is what's called title funding, Title I, Title II, Title III, and Title IV. Those big bucket items are mandated through Congress. And it does take what's called an act of Congress to change them. However, there are other federal funding streams that have been affected. I've talked to several superintendents within the state of North Carolina who have had federal funding removed this month.
So it's already happening. He just says he's talked to other superintendents that have had federal funding removed this month. Meaning the example is already being made. Get in line, follow the directives, follow the policy agenda, or put your funding at risk. I don't know how you could lay it out any more clear for the public, for the members of the school board. This is going to happen. It's already happening in some cases. We need to get ourselves in line. Again, not overly complicated. You don't need a PhD, no disrespect to Dr. Barnes, but you don't need a PhD in education. You don't need your doctorate to understand that. It's in very simple terms. Follow these directives or risk losing your money. It's really not overly complicated.
So I want to talk to you about, as a superintendent, what is the, not interim anymore, what is the pragmatic situation that we're in right now. And that is my concern about the employment of approximately 350 school employees that are paid federally. Now that does include child nutrition, which is, comes actually through a federal grant through the, oh come on Ashley, what's it called?
We receive USDA funding.
USDA, thank you.
And that turns all of that child nutrition money into federal money once we receive that.
I am not wanting to minimize the concern, but I'm also not wanting to ignore a potential impact to students, families, and staff. There are two specific areas that I think bear immediate sort of concern. in regards to this Office of Civil Rights letter, and that involves our strategic plan and some of our work with what I've brought to you to pass out after, which is embedded in here, which is the curriculum item, which is the My Life versus Stepping Stones curriculum. So I wanted to bring this to the board because if we're going to be moving forward as the great eight, as we say, you know, unified together, I can't make this decision without your input, because the strategic plan is basically your roadmap for how we do our work. So that sort of opens it up. I think it's the devil's obviously in the details. It's not uncommon for, we've been on the strategic plan for 3 years, it's not uncommon to come back and review your strategic plan and look for ways to consolidate, update. What we've talked about is when we did our budget listening session over the last several months, almost every single request that folks have had about funding has come in either one, two, or three. And that is academics, safety, and the way our employees are interacted with. Four, five, and six are sort of about what we do as a group, right? Our culture, our community, things like that. So the board has a couple of choices to make, and I'll stop talking and give you guys a chance. But I think the couple ways that you could do is you could allow myself to work with the cabinet and bring you back some revisions and ideas about the strategic plan, or we can all sit down together in a work session and do that work together. Mm-hmm. Either way, but I do think first you need to decide if we're going to respond to this letter, yes or no, how do we do that, and what's the proper response pattern for me to bring the staff to?
So a really good synopsis there from the newly full-time, fully hired superintendent of the New Hanover County Public School System, Dr. Barnes. We've got this letter. Very clearly states and lays out what some of the potential risks are in the future to the school district if we do not get in line, if we do not go forward and deal with the directive, which of course is getting rid of the incredibly divisive diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. And here's the thing. The school system is not required to, well, they're not required to follow that directive. If they don't want to do that, if they are not in favor of that, they can absolutely turn up their nose at the federal government, give them the middle finger, and say, we're going to follow and continue to do what we want. I mean, they're not required to do this. Of course, the risk is that if they do not follow the directives, if they decide to go forward with these very divisive policies, then they're going to lose 20% of their funding. And as you heard from the superintendent, you're talking about over 300 positions within the school system. And I think it's safe to say that the Democrats that are always yelling about school funding, Democrats that are always complaining about teacher pay and how it's not enough, I don't know how they would be in favor of potentially losing 300 positions within the school system. I don't think that meshes with the things that they constantly preach publicly, the things that they buy billboards on and run television commercials on and hoot and holler at school board meetings about. So to me, the answer to this is very simple. We need to follow the directives. We need to come in line with federal compliance with the letter from the Office of Civil Rights. And we need to get rid of these policies. It does not seem overtly complicated. It does not seem. Now, you might disagree with that. You might think, and you'll hear from one of the progressive school board members about how she doesn't believe this is the right thing to do. But whether you think it's the right thing to do or not, the question is very simple. Do you want to lose that funding? Do you want, and are you okay risking losing that funding? This is the New Hanover County strategic plan as it's written right now, 2022 through 2027. And it's got six goals. One, academic performance. Number two, student safety, people and places. Number three, supportive environments for teachers and staff. Number four, equity, diversity, and inclusion. They call it EDI within the New Hanover County school system. Exactly right there in the name, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Goal 5, family engagement, and goal 6, community partnerships. And you'll hear throughout some of the discussion today, these 6 pillars. That's what they're referring to. The 6 goals within the strategic plan as it was previously written. And goal number 4 was DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Right in their strategic plan. Completely now against these new federal mandates that are coming down. So I thought the superintendent did a really good job kind of laying that out and bringing to the board and bringing to his fellow members kind of what the situation is and how some of this is likely to unfold. Because we're on the precipice of that right now. Again, whether you like it or not, that's what you're looking down and looking at as it speaks, or as we speak about it this morning. So this, of course, prompted some discussion, as you would imagine. And we'll hear from board member Judy Justice, who was on the board back a couple of years ago, lost an election due to her very unpopular rhetoric and the way in which she spoke to the community and acted as a school board member, which was constantly interrupting during the meetings, just making these school board meetings a real pain constantly, just always needing to bring up points, just incredibly childish in my estimation. So she had her thoughts on the EDI discussion, the diversity or the equity, diversity, inclusion, or diversity, equity, and inclusion discussion. This is what Judy Justice, newly elected progressive school board member, had to say.
Let's be honest. Our number one commitment is to educating our kids. Diversity, equity, and inclusion can be mixed up. Those words can cover half a dozen different groups of people. And then the words themselves can be interpreted in different ways. The term DEI has been turned into a political code word for politics. Please.
Well, hold on a second here. It's been turned into a political code word. By who? You guys are the one that brought this crap in. You guys are the one that ushered in diversity, equity, and inclusion. You were hell-bent on making this your priority. Let's not pretend and let's not kid ourselves and act like the Republicans or the conservatives brought this in, ushered in this change, and now it's being used against you. You guys wanted this stuff. Turns out people generally weren't in favor of it. It ended up being incredibly disruptive and destructive for the agencies and entities and operations that wanted to follow in these policies. And now it's being rolled back because it's not popular. You guys took a shot on an attempt to discriminate against people based on their gender, based on their race. It didn't work. The American people, the general public said, no thanks, we're not in favor of this. And now it's changing. I always, every time you hear something from one of these progressive leftists, well, we don't need this to be political. This is not supposed to be political. What do you mean it's not supposed to be political? You guys are politicians. You were elected to a school board with a political party next to your name. There are 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats on the school board. This attempt to say, oh, this is not political, is nonsense. It is incredibly political. You ushered in the change. There's been a revolution against it. And now you have to face the music. This is what you guys wanted. But no, we don't want this to be political. More from Judy Justice.
Themselves can be interpreted in different ways. The term DEI has been turned into a political code word for politics. Please, guys, let's focus on the kids. Let's do what we need to do. If we have to change some wording in the strategic plan, it's supposed to be looked at anyway. There's some other things that's going to be coming up today, and we need to always put what kids need first and what the families need first. And I can honestly say, here in this district, the families are getting, they're very pleased with what we're doing. We need to keep doing it, and we don't need any huge major changes right now because of political posturing. But I would like to hear from the lawyers as far as what they have discovered about what kind of, I guess you could say, actual ability that this document has to possibly change what we're doing right now?
Well, we just heard from the superintendent. We've heard examples of school districts losing their funding, losing their money. What's the political posturing here? I don't get it. I'm struggling to wrap my head around it. What is the posturing part of this? The policies are changing for states and for local entities like a school system or a county or a town or a city, whatever, to receive federal funds. They have to be in compliance with federal law. That's nothing new. They have to be in compliance with federal mandates. If you're not, you put that funding at risk. She claims that the families need diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they're very happy with these policies, and they're very happy with the school system. We don't need to make any changes. Why is it that the New Hanover County school system continues to drop in the number of enrolled students as this area continues to explode in terms of growth? If people were so happy with the school system, why is there, in some cases, what I would describe as essentially a mass exodus of the public school system? If that was happening, or if that was the case, why is some of this stuff going on? Why are people leaving the school district? Why are they going towards opportunity scholarships? Why are they going towards public charter schools? Why are they homeschooling their kids or finding alternatives? I mean, that should not be the case if the school systems are great, if nothing's changing, if nothing's going on. But that's not, of course, what's happening. People are leaving the school system. People are finding themselves frustrated with what they're getting from the public schools. Judy Justice, of course, now doesn't want to make any drastic changes because the policies that she wants ushered in are now in the crosshairs. There is a cultural shift going on in our country that is not in line with the things that she supports. So now we don't want to make any drastic changes. We don't want to do anything too quickly. We're going to just, I guess, wait to lose the funding. And then go, oh, crap, maybe we should have changed our ideas on this. Let's hear now from Pete Wildebor. He was the previous chair of the school board. For folks that were frequent listeners of the radio program, you'll remember that Pete would join us pretty much after every school board meeting when he was the chair to give us an update. This is what he had to say in regards to this, again, overall discussion over DEI.
Very candid with some of my colleagues. You know, this is a very interesting time we are in. You know, we've seen it before. We'll probably see it again. I've had one of my colleagues go on national TV and be interviewed and say how important it is to keep funding. But then we come back and we say, oh, but this is 350 people. I mean, bottom line, but 368 people. At the end of the day, I agree. We need to keep the funding. I mean, I'm not running, and I'm just disappointed and my colleague that said we're running scared. We're not running scared. We're taking care of people. Bottom line, you know, that's insulting to me. I don't know about anybody else. That's insulting to me that we're running scared because we've heard of counties that have actually lost funding. People have lost their jobs. We were here on the board last year when people lost their jobs. So to say, well, you're running scared, I'm not willing to risk somebody's job to say, well, I'm going to show them. I mean, it's about people. It's about the teachers that are in the classrooms day in and day out doing what they need to do for the students. So we're talking about a huge chunk of folks. I think that the wise thing to do is to comply with what is put in front of us.
Those are some great comments there from Pete Wildebor on the New Hanover County Board of Education. So we've got a little... update now as to what's going on there. We'll get into some more details on that meeting coming up here in just a few minutes. Don't forget to follow the show over on YouTube, or you can watch it live weekday mornings starting at 7, and also check out the show after the fact, youtube.com/The Nick Craig Show. We appreciate you subscribing to the channel over there, and make sure you are liking and commenting on the videos if you've got any feedback you'd like to pass along. We'll continue the DEI discussion in regards to the new Hanover County school system coming up here in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Good Friday morning to you. Thanks for spending some time here. We are continuing our discussion this morning on diversity, equity, and inclusion in regards to the new Hanover County school system. So you heard some of the back and forth. You heard the update from the superintendent. You heard from Judy Justice and Pete Wildebohr. So at this agenda review meeting, the superintendent made it clear that the school board essentially needs to come in compliance with President Donald Trump's executive orders on DEI. Board member David Perry indicated before the meeting on social media that he would put forth several motions to eradicate DEI from the district at Tuesday's meeting. And he, in fact, did so, with the board voting 5-2, the two no votes, of course, Democrat Tim Merrick and Judy Justice dissenting, to have the superintendent remove diversity, equity, and inclusion from the strategic plan immediately. The board also instructed the superintendent to bring back policy change recommendations needed to comply with the executive order, and also to come could be challenges to the district's sexual education offerings. The district offers two programs, one which incorporates lessons on gender roles and sexuality. The vote Tuesday was met with urgency from the board, which received a Dear Colleague letter from the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. The letter was distributed to all school districts across the entire country back on February the 14th. The letter from OCR's Acting Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights, Craig Traynor, offered further interpretation of President Donald Trump's executive order banning the implementation of discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion, adding in accessibility as well, mandates policies, programs, preferences, and activities within the federal government. The letter advises school districts to complete the following actions by February the 28th, today. Ensure their policies and actions comply with existing civil rights laws. Cease all efforts to circumvent prohibition on the use of race by relying on proxies or other indirect means to accomplish such ends. That's a key portion. And number three, cease all reliance on third-party contractors, clearinghouses, or aggregators that are being used by institutions in an effort to circumvent the prohibited use of race. That right, the second and third bullet point there are very important, because what you're seeing now is, in an attempt to game the system, you've got entities and agencies that are getting rid of, and I put that in air quotes for our video, for our audio listeners, but in air quotes, getting rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion, when in reality, they're just changing the name of the programs, changing the name of the groups that are administering these tasks. They're not getting rid of it at all. They're just changing the name and masquerading it under something else. And so that second bullet point of any efforts to circumvent the use of these DEI policies by proxies or other indirect means to accomplish such ends is a key portion of this. Craig Traynor argues in the letter that DEI practices such as professional development on inclusive teaching, including diverse material in divisive material in curriculum, creating opportunities for unprotected groups, are a form of race-based discrimination, which is in fact against the law. The letter reads as follows. Educational institutions have toxically indoctrinated students with false premises that the United States is built upon systematic and structural racism and advancing discriminatory policies and practices. That's completely true. You have public school students in New Hanover County that have been taught that because of their skin color, because of their race, they are either an oppressor or they are oppressed. That's not fantasy. That's not fairy tale world. I've got pictures and evidence that was sent to me in the past by individuals that have their kids or grandkids in the school system with this kind of teaching. This is actually happening within our school district. The left can bury their head in the sand all they want and claim it's not true, it's not happening, it's being blown out of proportion, that's not the case. It is. And think about how destructive that is in regards to young individuals. Think about the kind of seeds that you are sowing when you teach a 11-year-old that based on their skin color, they're oppressing their friend because they look different than they are. Or teaching the other 11-year-old that because of their skin color, their other friend is always superior to them. And that they're always going to be oppressed based on their skin color. What the hell were we thinking? Who thought this was a good idea? Who thought this was going to heal racial divides in our country and bring forth prosperity? I mean, you got to be out of your freaking mind to think that's a good idea. But that's exactly what was going on. That's exactly the kind of narratives that were being pushed by the left. That's exactly the kind of crazy, ridiculous, wacko ideologies that they were supporting. And not only supporting, but actually implementing within the public school system. And this letter from Craig Treanor is spot on. It's toxic and it's indoctrination with a ridiculous, false, liberal premise. And it's gone. It's being stripped out. It's being rolled back. Trump's authority to take away funding appropriated by Congress is something that is still under question. You heard a little bit about that from the superintendent as the federal government has temporarily blocked parts of the executive order from taking effect. The Constitution explicitly states that the legislative branch has ultimate authority on government spending, and Congress has authorized the U.S. Department of Education to oversee the distribution of federal dollars to states and school districts. Though Trump has said, again, contrary to his executive orders, he would like to dismantle the department, which is probably something that we'll see anyway. So the issue remains, you know, kind of in limbo. It was voted to be removed from the strategic plan, and obviously that work is ongoing right now. However, New Hanover County School System's compliance with an order was presented as cautionary and a proactive measure, as around 368 federal-funded positions could be caught in the crosshairs if they don't make a move. Board member Pat Bradford said during the meeting, quote, "I do not want to be in a position to lose funding and then have to go after and try to claw it back and find something else to support these positions while we do it. I am just absolutely not in favor of doing that." And Pat Bradford is spot on. Why would you risk this funding? Why would you risk 368 positions within the school system? You know, every decision we make, pretty much every decision we make throughout the day, comes with some level of risk. And for the most part, you make decisions that are the least, that could have the least amount of pushback or blowback. That's just kind of how we operate as human beings. It's okay to take risks from time to time. Sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. But why, as a school system, would you put yourself in a position to risk this large of a number of faculty and positions and staff and programs? And again, I'll remind you that the outcry of there's not enough teachers, they're not making enough money, we need more educators, is coming from the same crowd that is willing to risk this federal funding. which really just goes to prove to you that they don't actually care about teacher pay. They don't actually care whether there's accredited teachers in the schools, in the school district, and in the classroom. They use the educators as a political pawn to push forward their agenda. If Tim Merrick and Judy Justice truly cared about making sure that every single teacher we had in the classroom was going to stay there and that their jobs were not at risk with the federal government pulling funding, they would have not voted against this measure. They would have voted in favor, even though they disagreed with it, they would have voted in favor just to make sure that those jobs weren't put at risk. But they didn't. They voted against it because I guess they're more interested in scoring the political points with the left than saving teachers' jobs. They're more interested in pandering to members of the Democrat Party than they are in providing a good, sound, basic education for children. That's my interpretation of based on their vote. They're willing to take this risk. And you can only imagine what the outrage would be after this federal money was pulled if the school district didn't vote 5-2. It'd be the same Democrats that voted against it that would be crying during board meetings over how now we're in a panic mode. And we've got to find a way to do this. And we've got to come up with a solution because now we're 368 teachers short. The irony is ridiculous. These people don't care about education. It's obvious. If they did, they would have voted in favor of this. The Trump administration has canceled tens of millions of dollars in federal grants for North Carolina teacher training and retention, including a $12 million program in Wake County. Remember I mentioned making an example. Because that's what's going on. These school districts are being put on notice. You're not going to be able to continue to go out there, operate in the manner in which you want without consequences. The agenda is being set. And here's the details. The Trump administration has canceled tens of millions of dollars in federal grants for North Carolina teacher training and retention, including a $12 million program in Wake County. Several programs that were canceled were run by local school systems across the state to pay some teachers more money and provide them with additional training. Several other programs were run by colleges of education across the state to train more people to become teachers amid a shortage of qualified teachers in the profession. However, these programs, all of them, surrounded and had diversity, equity, and inclusion as a central part of their teaching and training. And that's exactly the issue. This is the real risk that a school system faces. $11.8 million in Wake County. $7.7 million in Charlotte-Mecklenburg County. $17 million to High Point University for recruiting diverse educators. That money is gone. What part of this do you guys not get? What part of this are you not wrapping your head around? The money is going to go away. You have to get in line or you risk losing it. And we already know the school system doesn't have any extra money. We already know that the school system is going to make a major ask of the New Hanover County commissioners this year in regards to education funding. They do it every single year. So what's the grandiose plan here? Maybe I'm just too stupid to understand. What is the grandiose plan here from the left? You're being told these programs are going to be stripped and cut if you don't get in line. You've got examples of it happening in our state. Yet the left wants to continue to plant the flag in the ground, dig in their heels, and say, we're just going to do it anyway? What a stupid decision that is. That's really weak and useless and ineffective leadership. Really, really stupid decision on the part of Democrats that want to continue down this path. Guidance from the North Carolina School Board Association, which writes policies based on state and federal law to be adopted by local boards, highlighted 8 policy priorities for priority review and 12 additional policies that mention diversity, equity, and inclusion. Instead of offering changes, the NCSBA recommended each school board in the state review their policies with their legal counsel. And that makes sense because the North Carolina School Board Association is exclusively run and controlled by progressive leftists. So they're not going to help the school districts that they're supposed to be supporting. They're telling them, you could probably rewrite these yourself. Why not just come out with the new policies, NCSBA? Why not just rewrite the policies to help your local school boards out? Because it's against their liberal agenda. Because they disagree with it from a political standpoint. So they're leaving their local school boards high and dry and requiring them to make the changes. Again, because just like the Democrats on the New Hanover County School Board, the North Carolina School Board Association obviously doesn't care about educators, obviously doesn't care about students, and obviously doesn't care about education. Because if they did, they would help these school boards out and rewrite these policies to get them in compliance with this federal law. There are also several policies pertaining to minority-owned and historically underutilized businesses listed as priorities. These policies encourage good faith efforts by the school system to contract with businesses in these groups. Listed in the additional policies for review section, NCSBA notes it has several policies on curriculum and education programs that represent the diversity of the student body and nation as a whole. But again, they are not interested in changing those policies. As you heard, the board's Democrats pushed back on the hastiness of the decision, voting against moving the presidential mandate discussion from information action to an agenda item. With Merrick, as you heard there from Pete Wildebohr, saying that the school board is running scared based on potential unconstitutional and ever-changing federal action. Now, of course, we've heard from Tim Merrick as of late. The idiot that he is went on national television, claimed that the New Hanover County school system is more segregated now than it was in the 1960s. What a ridiculously stupid comment to make. But, you know, he's got his PhD. He's Dr. Tim Merrick. So he's, of course, the authority of truth, even with ridiculous, stupid statements of that nature. So we know where he falls politically. And I've got this little gem from Tim Merrick. Nice guy Tim with his stupid fedora. He wasn't wearing it at the meeting. But this is what Tim Merrick had to say. Back and forth, there was some discussion over whether some policies or some motions were emailed or not. And in typical liberal fashion, Tim Merrick didn't receive something. And so this is how he talks to members of the school district, staff, the ones he says he cares so much about, right? Right, these bleeding heart liberals. And their constant need to prove how much they care. Always talking about how much they care and love and support everybody. This is how Tim Merrick speaks to employees, highly qualified employees within the school district. I found this to be incredibly disgraceful.
Board, Madam Chair, isn't it true that we all have to receive his motions and what he's speaking about here before the meeting?
We did.
I never received any of this.
He sent an email out to all of us.
Well, so are we going to blame our IT department for this tragic shift to Microsoft? Because I did not get
an order, Madam Chair. I'm not. There is a motion.
What a jerk. What a pompous a-hole Tim Merrick is. What a pompous, arrogant a-hole he is. I'm going to blame the IT staff. What a jackass. Thank God he's got his doctorate, right? He's this man of higher education. What a jerk. I'm going to blame the IT staff. This is what you've got in school for the next couple of years. This is the kind of rhetoric that you're going to have coming from the school board. I'm going to blame my staff. What a pompous, arrogant jerk. No surprise. He's the same guy that, as I just noted, went on national television and claimed that segregation is worse in 2025 than it was in, like, 1968. That was an incredibly stupid comment to make as well. He seems to just be full of those things. Everybody else got the email. Tim Merrick didn't. I'm going to blame the IT staff for this disastrous switch to Microsoft. How about a little grace there, Tim? Now you're bleeding heart progressive liberal. You care about everybody, right? You're a man of compassion in typical bleeding heart liberal fashion. Why would you put them on notice in a public meeting like that? What the hell's wrong with you? What a jerk. Thank God he's in the minority. And I look forward to every 5-2 decision that comes out of this board so Tim Merrick can go home and cry about that at night and go on CNN more and cry about what's going on within the school district. And as Pete Wildebor noted, we played the clip earlier, Tim Merrick goes on national television and talks about getting every resource and every amount of money that we can for the school district, yet he's voting against a motion to pull us in compliance with federal law. He's voting against a motion to pull us in compliance with the Department of Education's Civil Rights Office. The two things can't exist at the same time. What a jerk. I'm going to blame our IT staff. Go to hell, Tim Merrick. You don't talk to people like that. This is how you talk to your colleagues? You're so holy and holier than thou on the school board that that's how you talk to employees within the school district? I thought you cared about these people. I thought you wanted them to have all the best and all the resources and all the money available. This is how you speak to your colleagues? I'm going to blame you for not getting an email? You don't talk like that to people, irregardless of your position. Nevertheless, as an elected member of the school board, this is the kind of agenda that you're setting for students? When something goes wrong, you think the members of the IT staff purposely screwed up your email so you didn't get some motion that, by the way, you were going to lose on anyway? Because guess what? Tim, we're in charge. Judy, we're in charge. We set the agenda. We set the narrative. We have 5 votes. You have 2. We're in charge. You think some member of the IT staff purposely screwed up your email so you didn't get it? Well, I can't wrap my head around this. The nasty nature of people like Tim Merrick. He was a jerk during the campaign, and he's obviously showing he's going to be a jerk now. I'm glad Melissa Mason gaveled him and called him out. And you heard some Josie Barnhart there calling for a point of order. Don't talk to your employees like that. Don't talk to your staff like that. What the hell's wrong with you? So there's a little bit from liberal progressive Democrat Tim Merrick. So that's it. It's really as simple as this. School districts have a very important decision to make. You can decide to stand on your liberal progressive moral high ground and go against the federal government. Decide that you want to ignore the letters that you're getting from the Department of Education, that you want to ignore what's going on federally. You just want to plug your ears and close your eyes and assume it's just not happening. Just ignore it completely and risk losing federal funding. Or you can put politics aside. You can put politics aside and get back to actual education. Get rid of the DEI policies and get back to giving our kids a good, basic, sound education. That's your decision to make. It's not a very complicated one. If you truly care about students, if you truly care about educators, if you truly care about the public school system, which is all we hear from the left, then this decision should be as simple as possible. We have to remove these policies. We have to get rid of these words. We got to get rid of things out of the strategic plan like this that says goal number 4, equity, diversity, and inclusion. We've got to get rid of this stuff in order to keep our federal funding, in order to keep all of our employees, and in order to make sure that children are getting a good education. We've got to do that. If you cared about those issues, if you truly meant what you said, this is how you would operate. But in typical Democrat, liberal, progressive form, they speak out of one side of their mouth about the woes within the school system, Yet when rubber meets the road, when push comes to shove and they actually have to make a decision, they're willing to put politics over the education of your children. They're willing to die on this hill of diversity, equity, and inclusion and put 360 plus teachers at risk to get praise from the Democrat Party. It's incredibly short-sighted. It's an incredibly stupid decision, and there will be consequences to it. The money is going to be stripped away. The money is going to be cut. You've already got examples of it. I'll throw the article up in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can go and read all of the money that was stripped out of North Carolina from these DEI programs already, just weeks after the directive came out. I guess the Democrats think that they can win the long-term game here. Maybe they think they can win the war long-term. I think it's very short-sighted. There is a lot that is being put on at risk. There is a lot that is being put on the line by these decisions. And so if you truly care about education, if you truly care about children, if you truly care about educators, you need to make a very clear decision, which is strip out these policies, get rid of these departments, stop teaching this divisive, destructive diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense, and get back to education. If you truly care. Now, if you don't care, that's fine. But don't gaslight me. If you don't care, that's fine. Again, I'm fine. I'm okay with that. But don't gaslight me. And don't pour out your heart for education and pour out your heart for teachers. And then vote against something that puts their jobs at risk. It's the quintessential definition of gaslighting. We're in charge. We're setting the agenda now. You guys are not. You had your show. You had your chance. You had your opportunity to bring all of this stuff in, and you did. To your credit, to your political credit, you got all of this stuff instituted. The game has changed. You had your years to run it. You had your years to prove to the American people that these were good policies that needed to stay, that are quintessential to education, that are quintessential to the growth and development of children. You had years to prove that, and you didn't. You failed to make a good, concise argument to the American people as to why these policies are good. You lost it. You lost the battle. So, collect yourself. Do some sort of self-reflection on how you lost the narrative battle on this, and it's over. And move on. Get back to education. Get back to fighting for and providing every resource available to the public school systems that you claim you care so much about. It's really, again, it's that simple. It's not overly complicated. This is the agenda that's being set. This is the kind of advice. These are the letters that you're receiving. Fall in line. Now, of course, in the case of the two Democrats on the board, they don't have to, because the Republicans will, of course, the five Republicans on the board are going to do what's right for the district. They're going to make sure that they don't open themselves up to losing $20+ million in funding and lose potentially over 300 teachers. So the Democrats can sit in their own corner and be the moral two votes against everything that they do. See how long that lasts. Very, very short-sighted decisions. So that's happening here in New Hanover County. It's happening in other school districts and other areas across the state as well, and I'm glad. These policies are no good. They're incredibly destructive. And I'm glad they're going. I'm glad this directive is coming down, and I'm curious how some of these legal challenges are going to battle out. And what Congress and how they get involved in this once these budget discussions are over with. How does Congress get involved in this? That would be interesting to watch. We'll keep an eye on it and keep you up to date in regards to the strategic plan and some of these DEI discussions locally. We're hearing about it now at the school district level. You're going to begin to hear about it soon at the county level here in New Hanover, the city level in Wilmington. These discussions are going to come up as the budget cycle begins. And of course, at the state level, we've seen some movement there for some legislation that would strip out DEI at the statewide level for any group, any entity that's receiving state dollars. So I'll keep an eye on all of that and bring you details and updates as soon as we get them. Don't forget that if you would like to support the show financially, if you believe that you are getting some value and enjoying the show Monday through Friday, I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig and become a supporter of the show. You get access to the daily show notes, our monthly hangout, and more bonus content. patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's going to do it for a Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Have a great weekend. We are back with you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.